The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
You're listening to the PVD Cast with John Orlando.
Ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast. I am your humble host and your podcast purveyor, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 497. I hope all is well with you out there, and thank you very much for checking out this edition. It's episode 497. We are three episodes away from the big 500, and I'm still working on putting together a great show. I have some interesting guests that I think that you're going to enjoy, but it's going to be here before you know it. It's looking like mid-October, October 16th or the 23rd, one of those two dates, depending on how the rest of the schedule shakes out. But I'm excited for episode 500, and I'm astounded that I've reached that benchmark. But nonetheless, I'll keep all of that for when the episode actually drops, all those, you know, touchy-feely moments and my thoughts and whatnot, and maybe some other people's thoughts, who knows, about my little podcast here reaching milestone number 500. All right, but let's focus on today and this episode of the PVD Cast, where I have, once again, some talented folks from C3, which is the Columbus Cartoon Coalition. They're joining me to talk about their experiences working on Hidden Histories, the new anthology that's out for C3. Both these individuals have submitted some interesting stories. The first individual talking about the Ohio History Center is Jasper Rajavadi. And our second guest is Michaela Davis, who is going to be presenting to you four places you definitely want to visit, four businesses you want to see if you're in the Central Ohio area. So both of those topics, very interesting indeed, and we're going to get to both Michaela and Jasper here in just one moment, but I got to pay some bills, so to speak, if you will, and let's start off with the newest sponsor of the PVD Cast, Courtney 614 Online Sales. If you need great deals on women's fashion and health and beauty, then look no further than Courtney 614. You can find her at all those major reselling sites like Whatnot, eBay, Poshmark, etc., etc. Simply look for Courtney 614, spelled C-O-R-T-N-E-Y 614, or on some of those sites, it's Courtney _ 614. But nonetheless, pick up some fabulous deals and let her know that you heard about her endeavors right here on the PVD Cast. And now for the old school, the OG, if you will, sponsor, of course, I'm talking about World's Greatest Comics. World's Greatest Comics has got tons of comics from every era. The golden, silver, bronze, and modern era. They also have graphic novels, toys, comic book supplies, various collectibles, a massive back catalog. You name it, they got it. And if they don't got it, they will probably do everything they can to get it in for you. Again, you need to stop by the store and check out what they got going on at World's Greatest. Again, they're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. You can also follow them online. WGComics.com is their web address. And they're pretty active on the Facebook page. Just search for at WGComics. And I'd like to thank both Courtney 614 Online Sales and World's Greatest Comics for being great sponsors of this show. Well, now that that's done with, I'm going to throw it to a quick break, and on the other side of the break, you're going to hear me sit down and chat with Jasper and Michaela about their entries to Hidden Histories, the C3 Anthology.
Mm-hmm.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm joined this evening with Jasper Rajavadi. And I did say that correctly.
100%.
Okay. All right. There you go. Well, you are the man behind Squared Away, a look at the Ohio History Center, which is part of C3's Hidden Histories anthology. So let me just see if you could give us a little bit of a summary of the entry.
Sure. So my entry for the C3 anthology is a very brief but somewhat personal look at the Ohio History Center, which is a history museum located in Columbus, sort of off the side of the fairgrounds. And it's a place that I have worked at for the past several years. And I would say it's sort of a hidden gem in terms of some of the other museum traffic in the city, but it's also what I believe to be a worthwhile visit if you like to be surprised.
So you worked there for the last couple of years, mentioned?
Yes.
Okay. So how's the experience been working at the Ohio History Center?
I would say it's been pretty rewarding in terms of being able to meet all sorts of people and such, and having the opportunity to work with, or I'd say interact with, all sorts of different artifacts. Well, I'm not necessarily handling artifacts in my day-to-day jobs. I am often working at strange hours of the day behind a security office.
Okay.
But it is really interesting to sort of be able to walk in the galleries and, you know, sort of interact with all sorts of things about Ohio's history and the people who have lived through it.
So obviously you picked the topic because you work there. So, right? I mean, I'm correct by that. That's not a ludicrous statement.
Oh, that's part of it. Yes.
Okay. Well, okay. That's just what I was getting to. Was there another reason why you said this is the topic I'm doing?
Yeah. Part of it was also because I wanted to just try to challenge myself to learn a little bit more about the place that I work at. It is sort of like a wide-reaching organization, but it's also, I also wanted to challenge myself to make a comic that combined my own interests in making comics and being in the museum.
So what did you learn while getting things prepped for your entry into the anthology? Did you learn something new that you didn't know about, say, from maybe, you know, a few months ago or whenever it was the last time you had a chance to kind of, you know, bebop your way around the museum?
So especially within some of the later pages, I do focus on specific objects and exhibits in the galleries in researching to make sure that I labeled things correctly. I got to learn all sorts of names for the objects that we have and how long they've been in the collections, and even when some items were manufactured or created. So at the very near the end of the comic, there is a very small mention of a late 1800s corn sheller that has been sitting in the galleries for a while, and I never knew what that thing was. So I had to go into our organization's catalog to find out what it was by name or the label on it and the color. I was like, oh, so this is what this thing is now. I can recognize it.
So your research paid off then?
Yes, I'd say so.
Okay. Well, I guess here, before we start plugging the crowdfunder and talking more, Jasp, about some of your other projects that you have. Why is it important to have a good understanding of history, in your opinion?
I feel like these days it's also a pretty loaded question.
True, very true. I'm guilty of that with this question. Right. You're right.
But yes, absolutely. It is important, I think, to learn about history. In one part, to understand that people are generally not alone in their struggles and such, or even in like the world in general. And I feel like in some way, knowing history can help you to feel less isolated from others. And it's an opportunity to connect as well.
That's a really great response to that question. There's that human community that needs to be there for history to be used and to be celebrated. So that's a very good answer. But let's real quickly take a step to the side for a minute, Jas, as I got to talk about this crowdfunder, and you can help me out here. If I'm incorrect on this statement, please let me know. All right. I will admit when I'm wrong. It is expensive to be creative. Is that a true statement?
Yes. It is in many ways correct.
Well, that's why we're doing this anthology. All right. For those of you that followed along last year, you know all about it. You know how we do this. We have a very unique way of funding things. And that's through crowdfunder. And basically, we've set up tiers and we want to hit tiers. And each tier that we hit, some money is going to go back into the pockets of some of these great creators like Jas, like all the fine folks I've been speaking with about the anthology. We want to focus on the top goal. All right. Now, look, there's bottom goals like $10 a page. All right. If we reach $1,050. It's $15 a page if we hit the mark of $1,350. It's $20 per page if we hit $1,675. And everybody's going to get $25 per page if we reach $2,000. And I think, Jas, I think we could do this, right? I think that we could definitely get folks to donate and get to that $2,000 mark, right?
Absolutely. And especially if you really want to support artists that are local to you. That's not a bad idea.
That's right. All the money is staying right here in Central Ohio. None of it's going anywhere. It's going right here to give back to the fine, talented folks who made one heck of an anthology. Let's not mince words, Jas. It's a it's a really awesome anthology.
I got to look at some of the collected work recently, and I'd say that we have an incredible spectrum of stories and talent going on here, and I'm very humbled to be a part of it.
Yeah, so definitely, folks, check out all the social medias for C3. Again, that is the Columbus Cartoons Coalition. They'll have all the information that you need. Go over to all those social medias for C3. And go ahead and find out how you can contribute. It would mean a lot to everybody that's involved in the project. And you know what? You're getting a heck of a great comic book too, or excuse me, graphic novel, if you will, anthology, whatever you want to call it. You're getting an awesome one. So definitely, if you can help out, please do. Jas, I would like to just throw out real quickly. I just wrote this down a moment ago when we were talking about the Ohio History Center. I haven't been there in a while. I have to be honest with you, it's probably been a good 10 years maybe since I've gone there. I really enjoyed when I went. There was an expo, on toys throughout the years. So toys from the early 1890s all the way up through modern times. And I really enjoyed it. Where can folks find out about what's going on at the History Center?
Well, time for me to be a bit of a shill for my organization.
Sure, go ahead.
Yes, do visit sometime on Wednesdays through Sundays. That's when the museum is open to the public. For more specific information, you can go to ohiohistory.org and there, you will be able to find information about the History Center itself, including sort of the operating hours and current exhibits that we have set up. And you'll also be able to find relevant links to information for other services that are in the center as well.
Okay. Well, let's talk a little bit about you. Okay, Jazz, were you always interested in art?
Oh, yes. Ever since I was a kid, I think I knew I wanted to be an artist, but there were times where I doubted that I could be an artist for real. And prior to that was probably because of having some form of imposter syndrome about it. But then I proceeded to go into undergrad and grad school for art anyway. So, and even besides that, I would say that I still consider myself an artist as well, even without having gone through training.
How would you describe your art style?
I would describe it as very highly influenced by, it's definitely anime influenced from sort of being introduced to things like Pokemon and Sailor Moon at a very young age. I also had the How to Draw a Manga book by Katie Coop in middle school as well. So there was a lot of that going on. But these days I've also been interested in sort of trying to make my digital works look a little bit more influenced by traditional media, which is why I tend to go for also include sort of a texturized look for the flat characters as well. So there's like, I like to use a lot of paper textures and such. I also like to misuse a lot of brush pens as well in my work. And yeah, for the most part, I sort of just mess around and find out and make something.
Well, one of the things that I noticed doing some research is that you're pretty skilled at what is called installations. Could you tell the listeners or the viewers at home what is an installation?
Yeah, so in sort of art terms, an installation is a sort of category of art in which you have sort of a multimedia or multiple media even sometimes incorporated into a physical space for an artwork. And sometimes that can range from physical props to an inclusion of things like projections. It's sort of a wide range of, there's sort of a wide range of medium that you can use to create an installation. But I think I would say that one of the closest ways to describe it would be like gathering a bunch of objects and telling a story with it.
When you did that with something called the Shrine Project, that was an installation, correct?
Yes, the Shrine Project was sort of part of my MFA at the University of Connecticut, and it was a multi-part installation that involved a lot of projectors and a lot of cardboard, and making that into sort of a makeshift Buddhist shrine, but and with a lot of sort of inspired animations to go along with it.
Could you tell us a little bit about what is the Blink Museum of Art?
The Blink Museum of Art is sort of my passion project that I have going on in the background a lot of the times for things that I do. It is based on the idea of what if your favorite artists in history or even up to modern, what if we took their bodies of work and made it into a little guy? And it's sort of just often an exercise in character design for me. I really admire a lot of works of artists such as like Van Gogh or Joan Miró, and I will take some of their works and make it into one character design.
Okay, so it's kind of, would it be safe to say that you might call it like a way to practice your skills?
Yes. And primarily in character design, but I'm hoping to also take those characters that I've made for different years and perhaps maybe have them interact in maybe a comic sometime where they question things about themselves or they interact with each other, much like how some art interacts with each other in galleries.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You have the, I guess you could say brand name, if you will, of Neon Pepper Arts. That's a very unique name. Where did you come up with that name for your, I guess, again, for your brand, so to speak?
I would have to ask junior high school me where they got that name. Because it did start off as like a screen name for my Steam profile when I was playing Terraria with my cousins. But over time, I've started to use it everywhere just because it was fairly unique. And it's also fairly easy for me to remember as well.
Yeah, there's something about that simplicity of your brand. Definitely, I totally understand. Let me ask a couple of questions about your experiences. For an example, if you had somebody that came to you and said, Jas, I want to get into indie comics. I want to do this, but I don't know how. What advice would you give them?
It might even be the advice that I'd had to give myself to really start being involved with comics. And just be brave about it.
Okay.
Have no fear. Because I would say it's a lot less scary than you think it is.
Okay. Would you say that C3 has helped out, being a member of C3, that's kind of helped you out with maybe, you know, getting the right support for you and your projects?
Yes, I would say that C3 has been very helpful in that aspect. I have sort of been like a more quieter member of the cast, but mostly because I do work at night shifts, so I'm often not awake for the various conversations in real time. But it is a wonderful sort of gathering of people to exchange ideas, opportunities for submitting work to other venues, and connecting with other artists as well. And really sort of getting your work out there.
Yeah, all of that is absolutely true. C3, a fantastic organization. Everybody says pretty much almost the same thing, and you said it as well. The support. Having somebody there to, you know, maybe look over and proofread stuff, or to encourage you to do more, or encourage you to stretch yourself, if you will. All of those. I mean, I think every single guest that I've talked to has said that, and that's awesome to hear. But now I'm gonna throw a curveball at you. It might just be one or it might be a couple. What is the pitfall that you want to avoid when you start in indie comics? So what obstacle do you want to avoid hitting when you are just starting out in the indie comic scene?
Ooh, I think this might even be one that I'm facing right now, is keeping the ball going in terms of making sure that I'm still making works consistently, because, well, I also value rest as well, especially for creative work. But I also know that if I slow down for too long, I might not be able to pick back up again with the same sort of energy as having just submitted work for this anthology.
Now, you said do you work night shift then?
Oh, yes.
Okay. Well, that's got to be hard too on your schedule, right? Or are you kind of used to it now?
I've actually been like on those hours for quite a while now, so it is a lot. It's definitely a lot of getting used to in terms of coordinating time with friends and meeting people who primarily work during the day. But for the most part, I've been able to make most of those things happen, especially since they matter a lot to me.
Okay. Do you have any new projects coming down the pike, so to speak? You have anything in the works?
So I've been working on a couple of like one-off short comics. I've sort of been trying to task myself with the idea of drawing at least one comic for each week. It doesn't have to be published for me, but I would like to actually share them with others as well. I've also been keen on the idea of making more comics about experiences working not just at the History Center, but my experiences with museums in general, and gathering that into a bunch of those short comics into perhaps a single volume.
Okay, those sound like two really good projects there, especially the comparing the other museums to the History Center. I think that sounds really interesting.
Hopefully so.
Yeah. All right, Jasp, let's go ahead and plug some of your social media, or if your website or your Tumblr or whatever you have, let's go ahead and hit those up so folks can reach out to you if they have questions.
Yeah, so my work can most readily be found on Instagram and Tumblr. On Instagram, my handle is @neonpeppers. That is all one word and lowercase. My Tumblr blog is Neon Pepper Arts. That is also all one word as well. And you can find links to my portfolio site and everything else via a link tree that is linktr.ee/neonpeppers.
Okay. There we go. Well, let's just refresh the memories of the folks that are listening and for watching what we're doing here. We're doing this again for the Hidden Histories, which is the newest anthology from C3. We're shooting for that top tier. I mean, you know, go big or go home, as the old sports analogy is. You know, $25 page rate if we can get $2,000 donated. And there's other tiers as well, but I'm just hyper focused on, I feel it in my bones that we here in Columbus, Ohio can make this happen, can get that $2,000 mark and get everybody some money back in their pockets. And again, definitely check out all of the social medias for C3. And if you don't know what C3 stands for, it is the Columbus Cartoons Coalition. Definitely check out their social media. And you can find information on how to get your hands on one of the anthologies and where your money's going and all those questions that you might have. Just look for it once again at C3 through their social media accounts. And again, do a good thing. I mean, it helps out everybody. It helps out everyone that is an independent artist right here in Columbus, Ohio, in the Central Ohio area. Jasp, he just told you it's expensive to be a creative sometimes, right?
It's expensive, but it is rewarding. So if you would like there to be more really good art in the world, I think you donating to C3 certainly is one of the ways.
Yeah, there you go. So make it happen. You heard what the man said. Let's make it happen, Columbus. And with that, I'm going to start wrapping things up here. Jas, it was a pleasure to chat with you. Thank you for taking some time out of your busy schedule to sit down and talk with me.
Oh, thank you as well for having me here.
Well, you're quite welcome. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it over to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, you're going to hear me talking to yet another fabulous C3 artist. I'm going to interrupt my conversation just for one moment to talk to you about World's Greatest Comics. They are your one-stop shop for all your comic book related needs. They've got single issues, graphic novels, collections, toys, collectibles, hundreds upon hundreds of back issues. You name it, they got it. If you're in Central Ohio, you need to stop by the store. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. You can also follow them online. WGComics.com is the web address, and they're pretty active on the Facebook page. Just look for at WG Comics. Ladies and gentlemen, this evening I'm sitting down with yet another talented individual involved in Hidden Histories, the new C3 anthology. Of course, I'm talking about Michaela Davis. Michaela, how are you this evening?
I'm doing all right. How are you, John?
I'm doing well. Doing very well. I'm, of course, sitting here with you talking about the C3 anthology, which I'm a big fan of. I assume that you're a big fan of as well, since your entry is is right in there in the early pages, I think, if I remember correctly.
Yeah. I believe so. And it's about 8 pages long, talking about, like, you know, small places to come visit in Columbus, Ohio.
Yeah. In fact, it was just simply called Columbus Destination. So can you tell us a little bit about that project without giving away too much?
Yeah. So I chose a total of 4 small businesses to come visit in Columbus. I bring people into a 14-seater van, and a lot of them are actually some of my, you know, comics friends that I have that I decided to draw into it, and so it was a lot of fun there. And we visit, like, 4 places, and I'm the tour guide and bring them around. I first stop is, like, so I chose German Village as a book loft. You know, like, some most of the things that are situated around small businesses and self-publishing and stuff like that.
Okay, cool. So the book loft, which is, if you're listening to this podcast, if you're watching this live stream and you don't know what the book loft is, Google it. When you come to town, you love books, that's the place to go. In fact, it's so cool because it's kind of like a maze. Am I right on, is that a good descriptor of it, Michaela?
Yeah. It's like, it's a small independent business, and they definitely have little maps that, you know, will definitely need if it's your first time to go and, like, find the different rooms. It's actually, it started off as, like, 3 rooms and then branched out to 32 rooms, and it's, like, all small different corridors and everything. I think it's, like, 4 different levels. It's like, and you've got, like, small places and larger places, and all the rooms connect in all sort of different ways. It's a lot of fun going around and walking amongst the bookshelves and everything like that.
Now, you said that the places that you visited, these small businesses, they all had something to do with publishing, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So what were the other 3, if I may ask?
Yeah, the other 3, there was Laughing Ogre, which is a small family-run comic shop that has, like, a wide range of variety, kind of like your normal, like, comic shop store that's a small-run business. And then the other places was a $2 Radio that is a coffee shop slash, like, communal space that serves, like, food and drinks, and then has, like, is like a bookshop of, like, small indie books, and they're also, like, a publisher as well. And so, like this location is actually, like, their brick and mortar place where they can sell some of the books that they've published, and then also just some other indie artists that publish books. And so then there's that place. And then next to it, I chose Community Grounds as well, which is a small local coffee shop that does, like, sell, like, independent artists' work on commission, like, basically kind of like a small, like, little vendor place. Like, I know one of the last times I went there, they had, like, zines, and they had, like, fine art prints and stuff that artists may have had and were hanging on display on the wall for like sell. So they would be like kind of like a selling point for artists to like sell their work and get it out. But they did recently change directive, Community Grounds did, and they're no longer there. And they're now going to like on a new endeavor to have like a bus for as like a mobile transportation of their business. So kind of like a food truck, but it's like you actually go onto the bus and enjoy that experience. So
is it like when you were a kid and the bookmobile came to town?
I guess it definitely it's kind of like that. I think they described it as like, cause they're not giving too much information yet about that. I even tried to reach out to them, but I didn't hear any communication back from that. But it sounds like what they're trying to do is get more engaged into the community and go out to the community that they best want to serve for that day. So it's like, it's a moving kind of restaurant on a way, like a restaurant on wheels. So I'm excited to see where that takes them.
Okay, cool. So how did you come up with this topic? I mean, because the theme for this anthology of Hidden Histories is kind of to learn about something. So how did you come up with this topic?
I think I really just wanted to center around what small things in Columbus that not every tourist or even everyday person of Columbus may already know about. Especially like businesses that center around like the comic scene or small businesses, just to kind of give back to them in a way, especially the Book Loft and Laughing Ogre along with $2 Radio and even Community Grounds as well, because those were places that I would really go to while I was in college. Especially like Community Grounds, would go there and do my homework and sit around and be in that space. Along with $2 Radio would host a lot of comic events or anything like that around CXC and everything like that. And CXC is a comic convention here in Columbus that's a nonprofit that brings in and does tabling events and stuff like that. It's actually next weekend, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah, it snuck up on me. I kind of forgot about it. You know, it's a great comic book convention. I guess maybe that's not the right way to describe it either, because it's unlike any comic book convention I've ever been to. It's kind of it's more of like a comic and art event, I think is the better way to say it. Would you agree with me on that, Michaela?
Yeah, they're definitely, I believe a lot of the tablers like bring in a bunch of like different art and everything. Cause it not only focuses on comics, but it also brings in the animation aspect of it as well. And manga. So it's not just only focused on American comics, but it also like, they even have guest speakers from Canada, France, and everywhere. And it just kind of like, it all kinds comes together here in Columbus. They, like, I think the last year they even brought like a well-known, I think maybe Japanese or like some kind of like Asian animator that like came to the States and like showed their work, and it was amazing. And so it even goes like around like different, it's not only at the public library, but it even centers around the Billy Ireland, and then also over there on OSU campus and everything like that. But yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's very unique. Definitely, everybody should go check that out.
All right, let's talk about C3 here for a moment. And how did you get involved with C3?
I was tabling at Space with my Space's small press and comic expo, I believe. I don't know if I'm saying that acronym correctly, but I was tabling there. With my capstone for senior year with my comic, and I heard about them and then I was like, well, I'm fixing to graduate and I really want to stay with the community and everything and grow. And so I saw C3 and I saw that they were needing applications for the anthology, or like people interested in committing to it. And I was like, this is my chance. I have to do this. This will be amazing. It'll be my first time doing like a real big boy anthology. I'm like, oh, I have to do this. So yeah, that's how I got into C3, and I even go to like their monthly meetups and everything. So it's a really good community to be a part of.
Do you think it's very important for individuals that are looking to get support to go to an organization like C3?
Yes, definitely. It's better to be as a community and create than all by yourself, because as by yourself, you're in your own little bubble. You don't experience like feedback. You don't experience that community and eagerness to grow. And a community is a good way to like connect with fellow artists and receive feedback and like connect not only through your art, but also just through other random things as well.
Well, we're going to take a quick time out. We've still got plenty of things to talk about, Michaela, but I think it's appropriate time for us to plug that crowdfunder, okay? Because that crowdfunder campaign, it's also a little bit different than maybe some of those other like Kickstarters and Indiegogo. This crowdfunder is set up on tiers, and the amount of money that we can collect will then be given right back to the creators in the anthology. And look, there's many tiers, but I'm being optimistic. I'm looking for the big picture. I'm looking at $2,000. Folks, we can raise $2,000 for this project. A, not only do you get a sweet anthology to read, but it also helps to kick back some money to the talented creators. $25 a page count. If we get that 2,000 mark, it goes down from there. $16.75 gives you $20. $13.50 gives you $15. $10.50 gives you $10. And that's fine. That's great. You know, we're not trying to be greedy, but I feel it in my bones that we can reach that benchmark of $2,000. I really do, Michaela. I think the people of Columbus, when they hear about it and they know that this is for a good cause, they're going to plunk down some cash. If you need some more information, just go over to C3's social media outlets. Of course, C3 stands for the Columbus Cartoon Coalition. Again, all the money stays right here in Central Ohio. It's given back to the talented artists so that they can, you know, pay for subscriptions for, you know, like things that you don't even think about. Like, oh, I got to pay money because I have a gigantic I have a gigantic Google Drive that I have to have money for. See, even my cat lady, she's right now just meowing at me right now that you should go out and donate. That's what she said. That's what her meows meant. And so we can do it, folks. Definitely. Again, if you can pick up a donation and then pick up one of these books here for the hidden histories of C3. And, man, lady certainly messed me all up. I had a much better spiel, but anyways, Michaela, let's talk a little bit about you. All right. So were you kind of always a creative individual growing up?
Yeah, definitely. I think it all actually started in elementary school and then just kind of followed around. I went into college not knowing what I'd want to do. And then it kind of struck me that I wanted to do art. So then I transferred and I went to CCAD. And I started out as animation, actually, and then I kind of, halfway through my degree, I was like, oh, actually, maybe comics is where it's at. And so I went and did comic instead, and then just recently graduated and everything like that.
It seems here that you have a project that we need to talk about called Peace Bringers. Is that the aforementioned capstone project that you mentioned?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
So Peacebringers is a 24-page anthology, well, not anthology, but 24-page comic. Oh, this is perfect. I actually have it right here. So yeah, this one was my capstone, and the 24-page comic, it's about, it kind of centers around environmental issues and how the environment can kind of like divide people. But my characters are in fact birds. I kind of pinned it as like day versus night. So the day birds are like your birds awake during the day, so like hawks and kestrels and things like that. And then the night is like your owls and screech owls and stuff like that. And so I kind of centered the story around environmental, like global warming, for example, like the lack of resources causing conflict between, you know, warring sides. It's like night and day. And this one, it's kind of, it's a shortened version of kind of how I would have liked to take the story just because of the page limit. But I did center the capstone around a, like, an internship that I did with Ohio Nature Education. And Ohio Nature Education is a Ohio native, like, bird or kind of like a place that uses and rehomes wildlife that's deemed unreleasable for many reasons, and then integrates them into educational programs. So I did an internship with them. And so a lot of the characters in this book are kind of like embodied in this piece of work here.
What might be some of the challenges of creating your book, T-Springers?
A lot of it was the deadline. It was challenging overall to meet each deadline, but every time I met the deadline of like where I needed to be in order to have it ready for print for space and going through the printer, it was like a check mark of like, oh, I'm doing this right. And then also kind of just even the brainstorming of like how the story would be paced along the pages was like fairly difficult, but then with like help from like teachers and then everything like that, I was able to create the story and the correct pacing and where it needed to be.
I guess it would be a safe bet to say that you like birds.
Yes.
So when did this fandom begin?
Actually, it was it was during my internship with Ohio Nature Education. That's when I really just kind of started sitting around and watching birds and identifying them and listening to them. And I don't know, I kind of find them uplifting in a way, just as like a scientist and everything like that. And of course, I've always been a science nerd also. So it's just kind of, it's fun to kind of lean into that, the nature aspect into my work and like getting some science into my piece of works.
I have to ask because I have it, because I enjoy doing it, especially in the spring and the fall when I sit on my back porch a lot, is do you have the app, the Cornell app that identifies?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do.
That is so cool. My wife and I will, especially when we travel, we'll be like, oh, let's get out the phone and see what we can learn and see what's out here. So I know Cornell University, you are awesome in your technology. Because that's a pretty neat thing to have.
Yeah, definitely.
So I have to ask about this, and partly because I have a story to tell real quickly. If I could have just 30 seconds here. I have a friend that loves falcons, and in fact, toyed with the idea of becoming a falconer. So when I saw that you had an experience with falcons, I immediately was like, I have to ask Michaela about this. So what was it like to, because it was kind of like a drawing workshop, wasn't it? Where you had some falcons there and you were sketching them out. Am I correct on that?
I believe, are you referring to that one Instagram post with the Ohio and falconry? Yeah.
Yes.
That was not with Ohio Nature Education, but that was with another association here in Columbus. And yeah, I went to one of the drawing workshops there at Columbus at CCAD, where they bring in organizations with animals to help, like, for us to like draw from life. That was a lot of fun. They had them flying around and perching, and so And it's mainly like this course is called a Cafe Sketch. It's held like almost all day Fridays. And I actually was a part of it as well. So that actually also helped me in creating this book, creating more of like the animation like aspects and hyping up their features and everything like that. But yeah, it was a lot of fun. I did not get to hold the bird.
Oh,
that's okay. I did not get to hold it, but I did get to hold one with Ohio Nature Education before I ended my internship there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so you got to hold a falcon. It was not the one that you wanted, but you still got to hold one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah.
Any favorite birds?
That's like choosing my favorite child, John. It really is. Out of the ones at Ohio Nature Education, I think the screech owls were definitely the most intimidating. So I think I like them because they were so cute and small, but also they will gather in hordes and like it's just very creepy being in like a little like enclosure with them and them kind of like all huddled in a corner together. It's like larger in numbers. So that's also what kind of influenced my work there is being in that enclosure with them. I was like, okay, you guys are small, but also you're very evil in a way. So
like, are they like Voltron where they just join together and make a giant robot that will then destroy you?
I never thought of doing that. Oh my goodness. That's my next little illustration right there, John. I love that. But yeah, no, that, damn, that'd be so good. I love that.
All right. Just got a few other things, a few final questions here real quick. What are some future goals do you have for yourself?
I'd like to make maybe a memoir, graphic novel. I actually went to SPX this last weekend. SPX is like this small press expo in Maryland. First time being there, great state. A lot of lantern flies, and I'd really like to maybe make like a memoir comic eventually, a graphic novel. And then also, I don't know, just getting more into the community as well and creating works, I think is my goal.
Well, let's talk about some projects that maybe you have coming up here real soon. Do you want to talk about any of those or highlight any of those real quick?
Yeah, I'll be tabling at CXC. That will be next weekend. I'll be at the alumni table as well as at the Central Artist table. I'll be tabling there for an hour Saturday from 11 to noon.
Could I interject for a minute? When you say you're at the alumni table, is that the alumni table for CCAD?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that'll be along one of the tables that is against the wall for like CCAD. I don't know what table number it is because I've not been told, but it's along with it's in the CCAD cluster that's all on the line there. And so that right now is about all that I have lined up for conventions. But I plan to continue with C3 and do more things with them and hopefully be included in more anthologies for not only C3, but other ones like I'm looking around as well.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I think that's something I don't think anybody's ever mentioned. Do you feel it's important to branch out, even though C3 is great? Do you feel like I'd like to work with some other folks from other Michigan, Indiana, West Virginia, like other places as well? Do you feel like that is something in your future?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's best to try to get your craft or like your comics in as many viewpoints as possible, like in as many parts of like the US or like the world in general, just kind of like getting all your just getting your work into as many readers' hands as possible. And so that's why I would like to continue with C3 and then also branch out to other anthologies as well, to see what's out there, to engage with different communities as well.
Okay. Do you have social media where folks can keep tabs on you, or website or anything along those lines?
Yeah. I have my website for Polio. That's at michaeladavis.com. And then I'm also on Instagram. On Instagram, I am michaeladavis_art. That's my art account. And I need to keep more up on my Blue Sky. I think that's, I'm going to try to do more on that. And I'm fixing to open my commissions as well. That'll be on Ko-fi, or Ko-fi. I don't know how that goes, but yeah, that will be up there soon as well.
I've heard it pronounced two different ways, so I don't even know. So, all right, but folks, before I say goodbye to Michaela, we got to remind you one more time that, look, Hidden Histories, that's the name of the anthology. It's a great anthology. You heard from Michaela. You've heard from all these wonderful folks about some of the amazing entries that they have put into that anthology. So you need to pick up a copy of it. And again, if you can donate, we would greatly appreciate it. $2,000 is the top tier. That's what we're shooting for, to give everybody a $25 page rate. Again, we also have other tiers too, and we'd be happy to get those. But I just feel like, I feel it. I feel this vibe that we can do it, Columbus. All right. All the money stays right here in Columbus, Ohio. It's not going anywhere else. It's going to be given to the creators who need some help sometimes. Because am I right or am I wrong, Michaela, that sometimes being creative is expensive?
Yeah. Adobe is not cheap.
No. And you know what? Probably some people at home are like thinking, oh, it's just pencils and paint. And no, it's not. This is 2025, yo. We got technology that's wicked expensive that you need a helping hand with, and this will go towards it. So again, folks, go over to C3's social media. You'll get all the information that you'll need to make a donation and to pick up an awesome anthology. And I don't got much more to say, you know, other than just do it. Stop with any excuses. Go out and do it. All right. With that, Michaela, thank you very much for sitting down and chatting with me. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
You're quite welcome. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'll be back to wrap up the episode here shortly. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. My conversations with Jasper and Michaela, talking about their experiences creating some cool things for the 2025 anthology called Hidden Histories for C3. And I hope you enjoyed this episode. It was certainly a fun one to put together. And maybe you have some questions or concerns about the episode, or any episode for that matter. Well, let me tell you how you can get in touch with me. First of all, you could shoot me an email. JohnOrlando@pvdcast.com is the email address. You can also drop me a line over on the Facebook, Instagram, and Threads accounts. Just look for @PVDcast. And I'm still on Twitter. My personal Twitter handle over there is @PVDMVP. Now, maybe you want to let some folks know about where they can find the show. Well, there's a couple different avenues for that. First off, PVDcast.com is the online home of yours truly, and probably the easiest place to get every single new episode. But it's also available through all those major podcasting outlets. All you have to do is go to your favorite outlet or app, go into the search bar, put in PVDcast. Sometimes you have to put my name after it, and you should find it. And if you're listening through one of those apps or through one of those outlets, please rate and review. Rating and reviewing helps me out in the algorithm, and it makes those companies know that you are listening to the show. And by the way, if you're rating and reviewing, you might as well subscribe so that you never miss an episode of the PVDcast. But there's a third way that you can hear the show, and that is every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, I do a little live broadcast through the Facebook feed. Once again, that's @PVDcast. So there you go. Three simple ways to catch the show. PVDcast.com, through your favorite outlet or app, or Wednesday nights through the Facebook page, 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. All right, that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to get on out of here. I want to thank you for checking out the episode. And with that, I will chat in each and every one of you later. Stay righteous, stay independent, and stay safe and healthy. Presentation of John Orlando Enterprises, LLC, copyright 2025.